You don't have to read too many newspapers or watch too many shows on television to know that selfishness is rampant in our society. People are more and more and more concerned about themselves. And one of the problems with that is that selfishness is behind many of society's problems. It can be traced back to how people think of themselves. A minister once said during a wedding ceremony that most every problem that develops between a husband and wife can be traced back to selfishness. Now, when you think about the type of problems that happen between a husband and wife, and there's a variety that can develop, you can go back and see how selfishness played a major role in that problem. So selfishness is something that Christians have to be very careful about so that it doesn't creep into their lives, because it can come in very subtly. So we have to be very, very alert. We need to examine ourselves carefully and often to make sure that selfishness isn't surfacing in our lives, because it can come in many different areas and many different ways if we're not careful. And it can hurt or even destroy our character, our influence, our reputation. So selfishness is one of those sins that's very seldom thought about. But it can destroy just like any other type of sin. We want to look at three things this morning dealing with selfishness. Number one, selfishness leads to other sins. Selfishness leads to other sins. We're going to begin by looking at some passages in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we'll begin reading there in verse 20. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 20 and following. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." Now notice what's wrong. "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Now notice what he says and implies in that last verse. When people seek their own, they are not seeking the things of Christ. Therefore, the things of ourselves are not the things of Christ. That shows how serious this is. So this is a serious, serious issue. Selfish people are controlled by the flesh. They're not controlled by the Spirit. They're not controlled by Christ. Selfishness keeps us from being concerned for others. In that same chapter, going up to verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Notice, ourselves should never rank first. We should never be solely concerned about ourselves. We should be concerned about others. Isn't that what agape love is about? Being concerned about the interest and welfare of other people. When we're not, the Bible says we are selfish. In Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And we'll begin reading there in verse 36. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 36. And we'll read through verse 40. The lawyer asked Jesus a question. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I don't think he could have made that much clearer, could he? Who always comes first? God does. Every decision we make, everything we decide to do, everything we decide to say, people we choose to be friends with, whatever, everything goes back to putting God first. When we don't put God first, we are being selfish. And that's how serious selfishness is. Now, our society would never even think about selfishness being wrong, let alone it being a sin. But that shows how far our society and our culture has gone from what the Bible teaches. Again, that shows how very serious this is. The Holy Spirit says it's a work of the flesh. One of the works of the flesh that's mentioned, selfish ambition. Putting yourself first. Making sure that you get what you want and you're not concerned about what anybody else gets. You want what is, what you believe, is yours. And that's what you put your time and effort into. That's selfish ambition. And notice the problems that can cause. In James chapter 4, James addresses this very clearly. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, James writes, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Why were they not receiving? Because they wanted to spend it on themselves. They were selfish. When we go to God and ask for anything, and the reason being that we want to use it for our pleasures, we're being selfish. And we're being a friend of the world. And we're being God's enemy. Whenever we put our own desires first, we become God's enemy. Again, this shows how very serious this sin is. And when we start calling it a sin and recognizing as it a sin, then we'll start doing something about it. But selfishness is a incredible problem in our society. Again, we see it every time we look in newspapers, every time we watch TV or the news, we see how selfish our society and our culture has become. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, notice what verse 3 says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others." Notice what they were doing. They were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's being selfish. They were gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts, one translation has. That's what they were concerned with. These people got up in the morning, and throughout the day they thought about, how can I gratify my lust and my desires? And everything they did throughout the day was focused on doing that. Doing what they wanted, regardless of what anybody else needed. They were concerned about their welfare and their welfare only. They were children of wrath. And in particular, they were children of God's wrath. So selfishness can lead to many other sins. Number two, selfishness has to be, it must be put to death. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul tells us how necessary this is. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. In this first part of the chapter, he is describing the difference between the new man and the old man, the Christian and the non-Christian, the believer and the non-believer. Notice beginning in verse 5. "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth." And he starts to name them. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. You put off passions, evil desires, and covetousness. All of those have to do with being selfish. Being selfish. Paul wrote that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul said, if Christ is living in me, I am not concerned about fulfilling the desires of the flesh anymore. I'm concerned about fulfilling the desires of Christ. Because Paul said you cannot fulfill both. You're either fulfilling the desires of the flesh or you're fulfilling the desires of Christ. You cannot do both. That's why he says you must put them to death. Being in Christ, when we make that first confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are in essence saying, I am putting away my own desires as being of top priority. I'm now putting Christ first in everything I say and do. That's what it means when you make that confession. That's why that confession is so important. Because from that point on, you are saying you are no longer number one. Christ is. And that's what submission is all about. And that's why so many people want nothing to do with Christianity. Because Christianity, in its true form, means you put self aside. And far too many people are unwilling to do that. And how sad that is, but that's how our society is now. This means learning to say no. Putting to death selfishness means learning to say no. That means we don't blame parents. We don't blame our background. We don't blame our environment. We don't blame genetics. We don't blame anything. In other words, we take responsibility for what we do. Being selfish is a choice. In other words, we're not born being selfish in the sense of, I can't do anything about it. Of course you can. Since selfishness is a sin, all sin is a choice. Therefore, you have to put to death selfishness yourself. You can't just say, well, I'm just a selfish person. I can't do anything about it. Not true. You have to put it to death. Selfishness is a choice. We have to take responsibility for it. Just like David did back in Psalm 51, David knew how important it was to take responsibility. Psalm 51, David writes this beginning in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 4. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. We can't make excuses for being selfish. We can't make excuses for any sin, but in particular, we can't make excuses for being selfish. In other words, we can't say, that is just my nature, that's just my personality, that's just my character. No, it's not. You choose to be selfish. You choose to put yourself before other people. You choose to do what you want instead of what needs to be done. Those are choices you make. Just like you made a choice this morning to come to services. That was a choice. Well, whenever you're selfish, you make a choice. You decide, I'm going to do what I want regardless. I know it's wrong. I know I need to do something else. But I'm going to do what I want. That's being selfish. Think about what would have happened if Christ would have made that decision. Well, he would have stayed in heaven. Certainly wouldn't have came down and suffered what he did for us. Which leads us to the third point, and that is selfishness is a trait of Satan. Satan is the most selfish being ever. Satan is only concerned about himself. Because he wants as many people as possible with him in hell. That's his goal now. He wants to be victorious over as many people as possible so he can have a great crowd with him in hell. That's the ultimate selfishness. So selfishness is a trait of Satan. It is not a trait of Christ. We read part of Philippians chapter 2 a while ago. That's the part that talks about Christ. Beginning in verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. If we really belong to the Lord, then we're going to follow his example. We're going to put other people first. We're going to be more concerned about their needs and their welfare and their interests than ours. Especially, we're going to be more concerned about their relationship with God and whether they have one. Otherwise, we're being selfish. Jesus said he came to serve others, not himself, and he expects us to follow in his footsteps. In John 13, when he's in the upper room with his apostles, he says, beginning in verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It says it's not just enough to know to serve others and not to be selfish. You must do them. It's about doing. It's not just knowing. You must do. Jesus set an example for his followers about doing. Jesus was not selfish. He was continually interested in other people's welfare. Wherever he went, whoever he was with, whether it was one person or a thousand, didn't make any difference. He was always concerned about it. Yeah, selfishness is a trait of Satan. Serving others is a trait of Christ. Quite often, when a congregation has troubles, not always, but quite often when a congregation has troubles, there's somebody being selfish. Somebody wanting their way. And how awful usually that ends up. Families. Marriages, selfishness. So much of our country and institutions, many of their problems are about selfishness. People wanting only their desires. They're concerned about fulfilling their desires and their passions and their wants. We call people in government public servants for a reason. That's what they're supposed to be, public servants. They're not supposed to be there to fulfill their own desires. Well, as Christians, we're not in this world to fulfill our own desires. We're public servants in the ultimate sense because we're serving people spiritually. And everybody we see, we need to be concerned about their relationship. Do they have a relationship with God, number one? And number two, is it right? You know, is their relationship right? We need to be concerned about that and not just concerned about ourselves. You know, when we give invitation songs out of a desire for people to make right decisions. You know, when someone comes to Christ to be baptized, they're to put to death that old man, the sinful man. Put to death those desires. And those sins are washed away. No, they don't come up and automatically have no temptations. But it's something they work on. And selfishness can crop up and can creep into your life so easily if you're not careful. And your life comes to be all about yourself. Me, me, me. What I want, what I want to do. And you forget about other people. The Christian is to be just the opposite of that. You know, if we don't control ourselves, Satan wins. Because that's what he wants. Satan wants everybody to be selfish. And every time anyone is selfish, Satan is happy. Satan is clapping. Satan is glad. A Christian has to fight selfishness and to be concerned about others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love others as yourself. And like Christ said, it all hangs on those two things. So this morning, if you have a need to, number one, start a relationship with God, or number two, come and confess wrong, we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing this song.